Morning. Today's daf in Bechoros is Samach Aleph. Yirtzeh Hashem, today we're going to be finishing the last perek and subsequently the Masechta. We are on the topic of Maaseh Behemah. We have been since the beginning of this perek. This perek is dedicated to the topic of Maaseh Behemah. And the Mishnah we learned yesterday taught us a number of circumstances in which we are going to give Kedusha to not only the 10th animal, but also because of Aaron counting, the 9th animal and possibly even the 11th animal as well. Misha goes through a number of scenarios where the ninth was counted as the 10th, or the 11th was counted as the 10th, and under those circumstances, they're going to receive Kedusha. Just as a quick recap of the Mishnah we learned yesterday, the basic idea is as follows. And in a case of an Aaron counting, so it's possible that the 9th animal will be imbued with Kedusha. For example, let's say the ninth animal emerges, so our farmer loses count, and he refers to it as number 10. So under those circumstances now, the animal is going to have partial Kedusha. Partial Kedusha, it's not going to be offered as a carbon. It doesn't have the Kedusha as Maaseh Behemah, nor does it have a Karmen Shlamim status, but rather it's going to be Nechal B'mumo. Can be eaten only when it gets a blemish. The 11th animal, if let's say, for example, after the 10th animal emerges, the 11th animal is counted as number 10, so it's possible that it can become a Shlamim. Now, what is this going to be contingent on? So, this is a big discussion in the Mishnah yesterday, and we're going to be discussing this again today. That is only when the counting for number 10 also went awry. Then for number 10, what the farmer decided is that number 10 is going to be number 9, and then as the actual 11 comes out, so he calls it number 10. Under those circumstances now, this 11th animal is going to have Kedusha. It's going to have Kedusha Shlamim, offered as a carbon Shlamim. Karmen Shlamim is going to be somewhat different than that of a Maaseh Behemah, and I will go over those differences a little bit later this morning. It's important to understand those differences, as we will see a little bit later on this morning. So you can have a circumstance where all three animals, numbers 9, 10, 11, are going to have some form of Kedusha to them. In an example in which, the Mishnah gives us this example, where let's say 9 comes out, he calls it number 10 by accident. Okay, so that's now going to have partial Kedusha, it's Nechal B'mumo. Then the actual tenth animal comes out, he refers to it as number 9. But because it's number 10, it's going to be Maaseh Behemah. And then when 11 comes out, actual 11 comes out, he calls it number 10. So then it's going to be a Karben Shlamim. Okay, so that's the circumstance where you can have all three of them have Kedusha. The Gemara's question yesterday, Minayin Emilei, basically, where do we know this from? Or Minayin, how do I know that this is in fact so? So take a look now in Samach Amud Beis. So we're going to start on the top of the Amud. I did this yesterday, but it's a good place to start. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the Brisa. Minayin Karlu Chiyas Yiru Asiri Chi La'Charas Asiri Sheshlosha Mikudashin. So in the example that I just outlined, how do I know that all three are going to have different forms of Kedusha? Tamalamer V'Chol Maaser Ba'Kevetzon V'Chol Asher Ya'Avor Tachas Hashavet Asiri Yekodesh. So we have the expansive words of Kol Asher Ya'Avor Tachas Hashavet. So anything that goes under the staff that is demarcated as number 10, so it's going to have Kedusha. Yachosh Animar Ba'Avshmini Ba'Shnei Masar. So the Gemara says, okay, so as long as we're expanding, so why doesn't the expansion allow for number 8 and number 12? Why are we only limiting it to numbers 9 and 11? So the Gemara gives an answer, the Brisa gives an answer. Hovahu kadosh v'tahusu mitkadeshet. So it's going to be kadosh and its mistake is going to be kadosh. Mahu en mitkadesh ela besamuch. Aftuhusu en mitkadesh ela besamuch. So so since it's only going to become kadosh when it's 10, its mistake is only going to be when it's proximate to 10. Fine. So in other words, so there has to be a certain level of proximity. And when dealing with proximity, so where do we stop? Meaning one, margin of error of one, obviously that's proximate. Anytime we go beyond that point in time, we're beyond samach. We're no longer close to the point of proximate. And so therefore it's not included. Or the Gemara doesn't use this language, but if I could borrow a Gemara from elsewhere, tafasta meruba lo tafasta, meaning you just simply, we know there's an allowance for a quote-unquote margin of error. And by the way, I say margin of error over here, it's not really a margin of error, meaning if you made a mistake, it's not like the Torah accepts it. No, in other words, 9 and 11 are going to have Kedusha. But the idea is that once we know that there is an area of an expansion, but it has to be a confined area, so we're not going to go beyond more than one in either direction. Now, v'hatanya, the Gemara quotes another braisa, ma'hu miyuchad aftahusu miyuchad. So just like it is unique, so too the mistake has to be unique as well. Meaning this braisa seems to be teaching us that there is no room for expansion, and that's it, and that numbers 9 and 11 are not going to have kedusha, or at least number 9 is not going to have kedusha. So the Gemara says, Tani Tana Kama de Rav Yochanan, Hamani Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Hi. So the Gemara says, okay, yeah, you're right. There's another Braisa that gives a different opinion. The Gemara says it is authored by Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara goes on to explain this Braisa. De Tani Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer Laolam Einechad Asar Kadosh Ad, Shishtok B'Chi'i, V'Yikra La'asiri Chi'i, U'Lachad Asar Siri. So Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says as follows. There is a possibility, but much more limited, where number 11 can gain Kedusha. How would that be? It would be where when number 9 came out, he was shosik, he was quiet. And then he referred to number 10, actual 10 as number 9. And then number 11 he referred to as number 10. Under those, and only under those limited circumstances, can we have the Kedusha being moved from numbers 10 to number 11, to actual 10 to actual 11. Now, how is all this going to work? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So, Savalak Rav Yehuda Damar Tavos Meiser Temura Havai. So, number one, the Gemara says that he subscribes to the rule of Rabbi Yehuda, which is that when you are looking at number 11 and calling it actual 11, and you're calling it number 10, so how is that working? It's working through the mechanism of Temura. Temura is when you attempt to exchange a carbon from one carbon to another carbon. So over here, that's how it is working. That is the mechanism in which it's working. And on top of that, so how many times can you affect Temura? Now, I got to be really clear about this. I'm sure in the past I've made a mistake. I'm sure. The Gemara over here talks about the idea of Memer Chozer Memer. How many times can you affect Temura? The Gemara is not describing over here going A to B, B to C. What the Gemara is over here describing is going from A to B and then going from A to C. Meaning, how many times can you make a carbon copy of one carbon? Right. So, you can only do it one time. You can't do it twice. And that means to say is that once you affect Temura from A to B, that's it. A has now been depleted, so to say, of its ability to replicate. It cannot replicate again. So once you go Temura A to B, you cannot go now A to C. And the Gemara is saying that once you work with the idea that the only way that number 11 or number 9 are going to have Kedusha is through the mechanism of Temura. And I subscribe to the idea that you can only do it one time, you can't do it twice. So that means to say that it's either going to be 9 or it's going to be 11, but it cannot be both. Because it is only working through the mechanism of Temura. And Temura can only be a one-time event. So that means to say that number 9, if number 9 is imbued with any kind of Kedusha whatsoever, that's done via Temura. That's it. We've now exhausted 10's ability to go and transfer to number 11. Fine. So 9 has to have been not given any kind of designation. And then we can go from 10 to 11 because that's a one-time Temura. So the Gemara says that is the opinion of, that explains the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon.
There's a difference between Temura. Temura, you've identified a korban, and you're recognizing another's replacement for it while you're here. Right. You're not recognizing it as a tenth. You're misidentifying it.
Correct. So it's not done in the classic way of Temura, but it's working with the mechanics of Temura. Agreed.
So you're going to have doubt about it.
Correct. You're basically pointing out what Ben's pointing out. It's not, you're not doing it in the classic sense, but still, it's the mechanism of Temura which caps you only at one time. Okay, so fine.
That's not Rabbi Yehuda's.
That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So fine. So what we have right now is we have a debate in terms of where are the reaches of Meiser Behema. Can it go to 9? Can it go to 11? Can it go to both? So our Mishnah subscribes to the idea that it can't go to both. That's the idea of Shloshtan. You can have all three of them with Kedusha. There's a more limited position that we just learned together, that it can only be 9 or 11. It can't be both because it's operating with Temura. Okay.
So if it's working with Temura, 9 also should be the same.
Ein Meimer Chozer Umeimer. You can only do replication one time. You can't do it more than once.
No, I'm saying the 9 also. 9 also should. If it makes a mistake and calls 9, 10, that also has to be a Temura.
Right, but it's only becoming.
One is Shalamim, the other one is not Shalamim.
Okay, that's a different issue. Okay, that's.
But according to Rabbi Yehuda, should be the same. Should both Shalamim.
It's a fair point, but again, we'll see more of that. Okay, Amar Rava. And so with all that stated, so we turn back to Rava. Right? This parak, by the way, if there's a sponsor for this parak, I'm not talking about a financial sponsor, but if there's somebody who is responsible for so much of the halach in this parak, so Rava. Right? I obviously can't tell you why it is that Rava gets so much airtime in this parak, but so many of the halachas in this parak are brought to us by Rava here, no different. Amar Rava Yatsu Shlaim B'chi. So let's say two animals come out in the ninth slot, and Karen Chi. So, and I refer to it now as number nine. So what do I have over here? So I have the actual 10 coming out. It came out together with nine. And I refer to both of them as nine. Okay, so my verbal designation is lovely. But when all said and done, the reality is number 10 came out. So what do I have over here? Asir v'chul merav and zebezeh. So I have now, and I don't know which one's which, meaning they both came out at the same time. So what do I have now is, I have Kedusha, meaning Maaser Behema, and a totally chulin animal, Murav and Zebezeh, mixed together with one another. What are you going to have to do in terms of the result of that? Because I don't know which one's which. So you're going to have to wait until both of them develop a blemish, and then and only then you're allowed to eat them. Asire me'elav kadosh, because again, we go back to a halacha, which was brought to us by, that's right, Rava, that that number 10 is going to have Kedusha whether or not you do or you do not give a verbal designation. That was a big Chiddush of Rava that we learned a couple of days ago. So the so over here, so number 10 came out, even though you didn't call number 10, but still, it has received Kedusha. Okay. L'chi'i chi kakarile. I'm sorry. Asir me'elav kadosh. L'chi'i chi kakarile. Okay. Karan asiri. So now, let's say 9 and 10 come out at the same time. Actual 9 and actual 10. And the verbal designation that's given to the two of them is Asiri. So now, Asiri v'chiri merav and zebezeh. So now what do I have? I have 10 and 9 mixed together. Now my taima, the Gemara goes on to explain this, Asiri kakari leila tarvayu. So because he referred to the 10 to the both of them. So now which one was, the one that was the actual 10, so that's Maaser Behema. The one that was 9 and described as 10, so as we learned, nechal b'mumo. So it's going to have partial kedusha. And again, over here, the solution is going to be is that you're going to have to wait till it develops a blemish, and then you're going to eat it. But in other words, but over here, because you referred to the two of them as 10, so number 9 now is going to be Nech Abamum. It's going to have the partial Kedusha.
Can you put to work?
Can you what?
Can you put it to work?
No.
Can you, like, shear another guy?
No. It's also...
It's like a...
That's it. Yatsu Shnayim Be'asiri V'karan Asiri. Now let's say you have the 10th animal coming out. And with this 10th animal coming out, so now two animals are emerging. And you refer to them as number 10. So Asir v'chalasar merav and zebezeh. So now what do we have? So again, the actual 10th animal that emerged, that's actual 10. That's Maaser Behema. The 11th that came out, you called it 10. Meaning, I know you didn't call it by itself 10. You called them 10. But the word 10 now is going on both. And so now what do I have? I now have... So, Asiri v'acharasar merav and zebezeh. I have 10 and 11 now mixed together, meaning 10 with the actual Maaser Behema, and 11 which was referred to as number 10, which as we learned in our Mishnah now is a Karmi Shlamim, and now they are mixed together. What becomes of that mixture? So hold that thought. The Gemara is going to explain. Karan acharasar, let's say when numbers 10 and actual 10, actual 11 come out, and you call it 11, so Asiri v'chul and merav and zebezeh. So what we have over here is Asir v'chulin, meaning the actual 10 came out, so that's Maaser Behema. Number 11 emerged, but you called it 11, so that's fine. So we have now Maaser and Chulin getting mixed one with another. Okay. These are all the different formulas of Rava. In the event that two came out, either they came out in the 9th slot, they came out in the 10th slot, and they came out in the 11th slot, and the various halachas in which, when you call them a certain number, what would be the result? Okay, and really, meaning I know all this is a little bit complicated, I understand, but really, when you think about it, all we're doing is just basically we're plugging in the rules. So the Gemara says, Asulamali. So this last case over here doesn't really seem to be introducing anything new. Hainu hach. Meaning, once I got the basic gist of these halachas of Rava, so then I get it even till its final conclusion. So Hakamashmalan dechol bas achas tarvayu kakache. So the Gemara says, well, there still is a chiddush, meaning even though they're coming out simultaneously, they're both going to have kedusha. Va'afagav delo nekashem esiri emenu. And the Gemara says, and remember, number 11 is going to be invested in kedusha. But as we said back in yesterday's daf, and as we reviewed in the beginning of today, that's only when number 10 went awry. The counting of number 10 went awry. So that means to say that when number 10 is designated as number 9, and number 11, actual 11 is designated number 10, so then actual 11 is going to have the Kedusha of a Shlamim. Fine. But that's only because actual 10 was miscounted. If you have a circumstance in which 10 is not mislabeled, is misidentified, and number 10 is actually called number 10, so then number 11 will be fine. So consider over here the following circumstance. I have 10 and 11 emerging, and then I refer to them as both number 10. Now, it's true I called number 11 number 10, but I also called number 10 number 10. And so, really, number 11 should be imbued with no Kedusha, right? That should be the conclusion. And meanwhile, what Rav is teaching us is that no, because I did them simultaneously, so therefore number 11 is going to have the Kedusha of Vishlamim. That's called a Chiddush. Yosef Rav Kahana v'kamer l'alai shmaita. So Amalei Rav Ashi l'Rav Kahana v'alok lo nekar shem asiri himenu. And so now in going over these examples, so Rav Kahana and Rav Ashi were discussing and asking this exact question. Meaning, how could it be? How can it be that number 11 is going to be imbued with the Kedusha of Shlamim that only works when 10 is misidentified? Here in the case where 10 and 11 walk out simultaneously and the farmer refers to them as 10, so 10 is not misidentified. So how can 11 have Kedusha? It's the same question. Vitzanan. And let's go back to our Mishnah. Ze'aklal calls mashal onek Hashem asiri himenu in echad asem mekudosh. And the Mishnah told us very clearly, 11 is only going to be imbued in Kedusha when number 10 is misnumbered, is mislabeled. So hani mili b'zecher zeh. So the Gemara says, okay, and what we're going to have to answer, it's the same answer we gave just moments earlier, but the Gemara now is going over other Amoraim having this discussion. This is true when it is one after another. But when done simultaneously, when 10 and 11 are both labeled 10 at the same time, so not only is our Meister Behemah going to have Kedusha, but number 11 also is going to have Kedusha as well. It will be a Shlamim. So the Gemara says, really? That we're learning that from our Mishnah? I don't understand. In the case where they're coming out one after another, that is clearly marked in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah goes over the circumstance of sequence where 9 comes out, you call it 10. 10 comes out, you call it 10. 11 comes out, you call it 10. So under those circumstances, number 11 does not have Kedusha because 10 was properly labeled. So now you're telling me that we're learning it from the Mishnah of Bavas Achas. The Mishnah is clearly marking the case of Zechazer. If that's true, Zehaklal Lasri Emai. So when the Mishnah gives us the general rule Zehaklal, and as we say in every Mishnah that there's a Zehaklal, it's coming to introduce a new idea. So what is it coming to introduce? My Lav Lasri Bevas Achas. So the Gemara says, presumably it's coming to include a case where even words done simultaneously, where 10 and 11 are called, both of them as they're coming out at the same time, as they're both being called number 10, it must be that the halach is the same. Because 10 was properly identified, so therefore 11 is not going to have Kedusha. And that goes against the answer you've been giving now two times over. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Lo, lasuya yatsa asiri velo diber. So the Gemara says, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah is talking about a case where number 10 comes out and you don't identify it at all. Dahalo nekar shem asiri mimenu. So, and here there's a Chiddush. What's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? The Chiddush of the Mishnah is that 10 is not misidentified. Meaning, even though you didn't identify it, by virtue of the fact that it's number 10, it's actual 10, and by virtue of the fact that now it was tapped as it was coming out, didn't have to be tapped, but the fact that it came out as number 10 and it was not mislabeled, that is considered lo nekar shem asiri, that number 10 has not been removed, and therefore when number 11 emerges, and even if you call it number 10, it's not going to have Kedusha. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider now the following brisa. Yatsu shnayim basiri. Let's say two animals emerge at the number 10 slot, meaning actual 10 and actual 11. V'lo kadam echad mehem es chavero. And it's a neck and neck tie at this as they emerge. V'karan asiri asiri v'achad asar murav. I'm sorry. V'karan asiri. And you call them 10. Asiri v'achad asar muravim. So you have now 10 and 11 mixed together, meaning You're going to have the actual Maisa Behema, and you're going to have the number 11, which is imbued with the carbon, with the Kedusha Shlamim, and they're going to be now Murav and Zebezeh. Fine. That's exactly what the Brisa says. And again, Va'alolo Nekar Shem Asir Himenu. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. 10 was not misidentified. How can 11 have Kedusha? So the Gemara says, well, it must be that simultaneous is different than Zeachar Zeh. It must be, meaning that's the way we're learning the Braisa. And since that's the way we're learning the Braisa, that's also the way we're going to be learning the Mishnah. Good. So the Gemara says, Imishim Halo Iria. The Gemara says, look, if that's your entire proof, so I could push back, and I will. Hakabem Aiskinan, the Gemara says, the Braisa, which seemingly is describing a very clear scenario in which the two of them are coming out simultaneously, I can give the following ukimta, the following circumstance to the Braisa. Dikadim chad minayu va'afik l'resha. So what happened here is that even though it was kind of a tie, but what happened was is that one of the animals emerged its neck, stretched its neck out just a little bit in front of the other. And so, if we have now our photo finish, so one neck is stretched out before the other, v'kari echadasar. And what happens is that you call that number 11, v'hadar iarev. And then what happens is it brought its neck back in, v'naktfuk bahadadeh, and now they came out simultaneously, v'kari asiri, and you called the number 10. Daha nekar shem asiri heimenu. Okay, fine. Under those circumstances, now 11 is going to have kedusha, because 11 was identified before number 10 was identified. So the Gemara says, that could be the circumstance. So the Gemara says, really, that's what the Brice is talking about? It's really difficult. V'halo kadam katani. The wording of the Brice, it doesn't support that. The wording of the Brice seems to be that they came out at the same time. So milo kadam, dahadar i'arev. So the Gemara says, well, as long as we're pushing back, we could say that when the Brisa says the words lo kadam, it means hadar i'arev, that it was subsequently mixed together. Uchiman, and the Gemara says, now if we're going to give this kind of pshat, the lo karebi. So it has to be that this pshat that we're offering right now is not going to be in accordance with the Rebbe. Di Rebbe hamar achadasar lohavi akira. Rebbe's of the opinion that if I label number 11, that in of itself is not considered an akira, meaning Rebbe gives a circumstance in where you say nothing about actual 10, but you misidentify number 11, that's not considered an akira. So the Gemara says, no, afilu tema Rebbe. So the Gemara says, no, it can even be going like Rebbe. Ki amar Rebbe heicha de'islei behemos tuva. Rebbe is of the opinion that by misidentifying number 11, that's not considered an akira, that's talking about where there are many animals. Why? The Gemara goes on to explain. Da'amri chad isura ka'amar. Because consider, if let's say you have many, many animals coming out of the pen, right? I only need 20 to give the example, but you have a lot of animals that are about to come out. And what happens is number 10 comes out and you call it achadasar. Rebbe says under those circumstances it was not mislabeled. Why? Because achadasar could be understood. Now in English we have the word 11 for achadasar. So if we can for a moment, let's just forget the English language and let's just deal with the Hebrew language. When number 10 comes out and the farmer calls it achadasar, the way it could be understood is this is going to be, Danny, you got it right on the money. This could be first 10. And so therefore, Rebbe's of the opinion that when you say achadasar to number 10 that comes out, that's not mislabeling it, that's not necessarily incorrect. Could be correct. Right? Over here, according to Rebbe is that very, very permissive teacher who, you know, even though the student made a mistake, Rebbe's like, But here you really could reinterpret it. It could mean it's the first 10. Now, obviously, by the way, this will not work for, Esrim v'achad? I don't know. I don't know how he's counting from that point going forward. That part probably is important. But anyway, so yes, that's true. But if all you have is 10 animals, even Rebbe's going to be of the opinion that you can't reinterpret a chadasar. It's not the first 10. There's no second 10 coming out. So hacha deleisul behemus tfei. But over here we're talking about a case where you don't have a lot of animals, and so therefore under those circumstances, so even Rebbe would admit that when you number 10 comes out and you call it a chadasar, that is in fact misidentifying. My Rebbe, just give me one moment. My Rebbe, this opinion of Rebbe, Detanya, Karla Sira Chadasar, La Chadasar Siri, Ein Echad Asar Kadosh, Divrei Rebbe. So if I refer to number 10 as a Chadasar and a Chadasar as a Siri, So number 11 is not going to have Kedusha. This is the opinion of Rebbe. And again, it goes back to exactly the idea that a Chadasar could be understood as a first 10. Now Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Achadasar Kodesh, Klal Amar Rebbe, Kozman Shalonek, Hashem Asiri Yemenu, Ein Achadasar Kodesh, that as long as you're not uprooting number 10, so then 11 is not going to have Kedusha. Amar Ravach, but my skin, and the Gemara gives the explanation that we just gave, Kagon, De Islei Behemas Tuva, Darmin, and Chad Isurei Kamar. So the Gemara says, and we're talking about a circumstance in which, when number 10 came out and you called it 11, and Rebbe says you didn't mislabel it, it's talking about a case where there are many animals. And as a result of that, the Achadasar could be reinterpreted as, this is our first 10. Yeah, Danny.
Well, can't we use a Svara? If both animals come out simultaneously, you by definition mislabeled it. Because you didn't call this one 10, you called both 10.
Right, right.
So by definition, you mislabeled, even the 10th one you mislabeled.
Right, so the Gemara's understanding is that your labeling is going on both. But I do understand your point, but clear...
The other animal...
Yeah, yeah, okay. But the Gemara's, Gemara's understanding is that you are labeling both. Okay, Yatsu Shnayim Basiri. Okay, so let's go back now to a circumstance where you have... the 10th animal emerging, but right, another animal was able to squeeze through at the same time. And so now you have actual 10, actual 11 emerging, and they come out, and you refer to them as 10. Now, we said under those circumstances what? That number 10 is Maiser Behema, number 11 is the Shlamim. And even though 11 only is the Shlamim when 10 is mislabeled, is misidentified, that's only with Zecher Zeh, that's only when they're one after another, but when they're coming out at the same time, so the label of 10 is going on both 10 and 11. 10 is your Maiser Behema, 11 is your Shlamim. You don't know which one's which? Okay. Now, what happens under those circumstances? Now, you asked me, I tell you, you have two Karbanos. So now you go to the Beis HaMikdash and you're going to offer both of them. I was going to say one of them. You offer both of them. One of them is a Maiser Behema and the other one is a Karban Shlamim. That seems to be the simple solution to this circumstance.
You have to bring all the Gemenachot and everything in for Shlamim like a complete
set. Perfect. So, so now it brings us to the following. Maiser Behema is like a form of a Shlamim. That's true, but there's still major differences. When it comes to Maiser Behema is a has basic differences than that of a regular Karban Shlamim. Let's just right now for a moment articulate and highlight the differences between a Shlamim and Maiser Behema. First of all, the dam, the blood that's sprinkled on the Mizbech. For a Shlamim, you're hitting the two corners, the two opposite corners of the Mizbech. For Maiser Behema, you're only hitting one corner. Another basic difference, Chaz V'Shok. When it comes to a standard Shlamim, so Chaz V'Shok, the chest and the arm and the leg of the back right leg of the animal is going to be given to the Kohanim as part of a standard Shlamim. By Maiser Behema, that's not the case. There is no Chaz V'Shok of Maiser Behema. But rather, the entire animal, every part of it, is eaten by the owner of the animal. And these are just some of the basic differences that exist between a Maiser Behema animal and a Shlamim animal. So even though it's true, as 10 and 11 emerged simultaneously, and I called the number 10, and as we just learned together over the end of yesterday's daf, they are both going to now have Kedusha's carbon, but it's not the same carbon. One's Maiser Behema and the other is a Shlamim. So, is there a solution to this? So, I say it's straightforward. Yeah, it's straightforward. There are three different opinions in the Braisas exactly what to do under these circumstances. Tana Chada, Yiru. So, one Tana says that the solution is going to be let them graze, develop a blemish, and eat it with its blemish. Now, I should say eat it with its blemish, by the way. That would be good by the Maiser Behema. By the Shlamim, you can't just eat it at that point in time. You have to redeem it and then eat it. So, it actually is a little bit complicated. They're both going to have to develop a blemish. You're going to have to redeem one of them. You don't know which one you're going to redeem. I'm assuming you're going to redeem the one that is larger because you always have to assume, right? You have to play it safe. And so fine. So, but let them develop a blemish. Chada, Tana Chada, another Bryce says, Yakriva, that you're going to be offering it as a carbon. And Tanya, Idach, Yamosu. And the third Bryce says that they're going to be left to die. And there is no solution of redemption, and there is no solution of offering them on the Mizbech. So, there are three different solutions to the dilemma of 10 and 11 emerging at the same time. The farmer referring to both of them as 10, and there are three different solutions. Now, Lo Kasha, the Gemara says we can resolve this in the following manner. Now, when I say resolve it, there's no resolution, meaning those are three different solutions. But in giving an explanation, so we can give an explanation in the following manner. manner. Now, in terms of the solution of letting them graze and develop a blemish, that they subscribe to the opinion of the Chachamim, which is that what you're not allowed to do is now you're not allowed to bring a carbon if you're going to be limiting its consumption. Now, when we talk about mevin kachin lebeis apsul, limiting consumption, so the classic example that would be given, that I would give, is let's say, for example, you want to give the carbon toda on Erev Pesach. Now, it happens to be that your timing is terrible. It's really the worst time to bring a carbon toda. The Beis HaMikdash right now is quite busy. But with bringing a carbon toda on Erev Pesach, so your carbon toda has chametz loaves connected with it, brought together with it, and you are given one day in the following night in order to eat it. Aye, but it's Erev Pesach, and you can't eat chametz after chatzos of Erev Pesach. Rabbinically, you can't even eat chametz an hour or two earlier than that. So what you're going to be doing then, if you bring a carbon toda in Erev Pesach, is you're going to be seriously limiting the time in which this carbon toda can be eaten. And so therefore, the Kohanim are going to say to you, not today. Don't bring it today. Bring it another day. Bring it after Pesach. Not today. Which, by the way, is why we don't say Mizmor Soda on Erev Pesach. This is a different type of Mevi'in Kashan Beis HaPsul. Over here, you're not limiting it in terms of time, but rather in terms of consumers. Rashi, what I'm saying over here is Rashi. And that is the following. Because we don't know which animals are Maisa Behemah and which ones are Shlamim, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be taking the Chas V'Shok of both of these animals and we're going to be giving them to the Kohanim. Now, Kohanim are not a large population. They're a small population. And also, the Kohanim working in the Beis HaMikdash, even smaller. So when I'm taking Chas V'Shok and giving it to the Kohanim, there is no guarantee that they're going to be able to finish it. And so as a result of that, you are going to be minimizing the consumption of a carbon. This is what the Gemara means over here when it says you're Mevi'in Kashlan Beis HaPsul. So that is therefore, and so therefore you cannot offer it. And so therefore the solution is going to be let it graze, develop a blemish, and then you're going to have to redeem it because one of them is a Shlamim, and then you'll be able to eat it. That is Braisa number one. As we are now on the top of Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. V'had Tani Yakrivu, and the one that says that you offered Rabbi Shimon Hidamer Mevi'in Kashlan Beis HaPsul. So Rabbi Shimon is more generous with this idea. He allows the carbon to be brought even though its consumption is going to be minimized. And so therefore Rabbi Shimon says, offer it, fine. The Chaz V'Shok may not be finished. So Rabbi Shimon would just simply give a shoulder shrug. This concept doesn't bother him as much. And as far as the third opinion, which is that both animals are going to be left to die, V'had Amar, V'had Tni, sorry, second line down. V'hadidni yamusu, as far as both animals having to die, Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, damar taos meiser tamura, havya. So the mistaken meiser falls under the category of tamura, and kesavar Rabbi Yehuda, tamura's meiser, mesa, and Rabbi Yehuda happens to be of the opinion that the tamura of meiser is not to be offered, but rather to die. This is based on drushas and psukim. The Gemara elsewhere goes through the drushas. We're not going through the drushas right now. But that is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And so because the number 11, which he understands to be operating under the mechanism of Temura, and because this is a Temura of Maiser Behema, and because he subscribes to the idea that the Temura of Maiser Behema is left to die, so therefore we don't know which animal is which, therefore both animals are left to die. Now the Gemara says, because of Rabbi Yehuda, Temura is Maiser Mesa V'atanan. Now the Gemara says, is that really Rabbi Yehuda's Shita? Why don't we consider the following Mishnah? Amar Mishum Rabbi Meir Ilu Haya Tamura Lo Haya Krav. Now, Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah said that if in fact it was a Tamura, it wouldn't have been offered. Now, Rabbi Meir was dialoguing with Rabbi Yehuda. So, Rabbi Meir is making the argument that if it was a Tamura, it wouldn't have been offered. Mechlad Rabbi Yehuda Savar Krav. That means to say that Rabbi Yehuda, who is assuming that it's a Tamura, is saying that it should be offered. Now, Vichitem Rabbi Meir Lamai Desfir Lekamar. So the Gemara says, well, maybe Rabbi Meir was debating with Rabbi Yehuda, but based on what he holds, but not necessarily what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Vatanya, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Ein bein acharas olos shlamin lo shezeh ose kedusha likarv zeh, ein ose kedusha likarv divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So what's the difference between 10 and 11? And in other words, 10 was misidentified. 11 now is called number 10. Now, what's the difference between them? So here in this brisa, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, it's quoted as saying that number 10 cannot create a tamura. Number 10 can create a number 10 cannot create a tamura. Number 11 can create a tamura. So the Divra of Yehuda. So Karsh Kar of Yehuda lo Avid. I said it right the first time. Number 10 can create a tamura. Number 11 cannot create a tamura. Now, number 11 cannot create a tamura, meaning, but that's the limitation. In terms of it itself being offered, it can be offered. Dolo Avid, i.e. Gufe Kariv. So it can be offered. So you're trying to make the argument that number 11, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is left to die. I just showed you a Mishnah and clearly a Braisa that says that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the number 11 animal, which was called number 10, is not left to die, but rather is going to be offered. The Ode, and the Gemara says, and we're not done yet. I got more. Titanya, Imen Abakar, the Gemara quotes from the beginning, towards the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, where the Torah first introduces us to Kama Shlamim. Imen Abakar is a riboy. And what is it coming to include? L'rabo Sacharasar L'shlamim. That the 11th animal that goes through the pen that's called number 10, so it is going to be a Shlamim. Yachol She'ani Marba Afachi. What about number 9? Is the number 9 going to be a Shlamim as well, if it's called number 10? Amar V'chi. Hektish lefanav mikadesh or laachra mikadesh. Hava omer laachra mikadesh. Well, number 9 cannot have the kedusha of a carbon, because number 9 can only have the kedusha of the carbon after you've identified the carbon. Obviously, because it's number 9, you haven't identified the carbon yet, meaning the meiser behema. So number 9, when mislabeled as number 10, so it's going to have partial kedusha, but it's not going to have the full kedusha, because the carbon itself hasn't been identified, that meaning meiser behema. But once Meiser Behemah has been identified, number 10, and now number 11 comes out, and you mislabel it as number 10, so then it's going to have the full Kedusha of Ishlamim, meaning it's basically a Temura. Now, what is the Braisa teaching us? The number 11 is not only a carbon, but a carbon that's going to be offered. We are learning it through the Ribui of Im Min Habakar. So it's going to be a full Shlamim that's going to be offered. Now, this, what we just quoted over here, is Medrash Halacha. It's Taras Kohanim, otherwise known as Sifra. Who is generally the author of Sifra? Rav Yehuda. Stam Sifra Mani Rav Yehuda V'Ketani Min HaBakal Rabba Secharas Al Shlamim. So clearly we're of the opinion that that the 11th animal, according to Rav Yehuda, is going to be a Shlamim and is going to be offered. So we're a little bit stuck, because again, there's a scenario in which 10 and 11 come out at the same time. You call them number 10. We have one braisa that says they're going to be offered. We have one braisa that says they're going to be left to graze and develop a blemish. We have a third braisa that says that the animals are going to be left to die. We're trying to give explanation to this third braisa. We suggested that maybe it's Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda holds that the tmura of Meiser Behemah is left to die. We have just proven three times over from three different sources that Rav Yehuda does not subscribe to that idea. And Rav Yehuda does allow for the 11th animal to be offered as a carbon. So we are right now left with no way of explaining why the two animals should be left to die. So Ela Tirgama Reb Shimon Reb Abba Kamei de Reb Yochanan Meiser Bezman Azaskinan Umishum Tekala. So we're going to give a new explanation to the third Braisa. The animals are left to die. We're talking about Bezman Azah, where they were counted nowadays. They're counted nowadays meaning with no Beis HaMikdash. So with no Beis HaMikdash, so now what? So now we have carbonus running around, and we're going to be waiting until they develop a blemish. So the Bryce is of the opinion that, no, don't let them wait around, but rather dispose of them. So So the Gemara says, if that's the explanation of the Bryce, so why do we need this complicated scenario of 10 and 11 coming out at the same time, and I call them both 10? Meaning, can we just say it simply? If your whole point is that if you identify carbon, bizman azeh, you have to dispose of it. If that's the entire point of the braisa, give me a simple case. Why give me the complicated case? So lo mi bai kamar. So the Gemara says, the braisa is giving us both the basic scenario and also the more complex one. Lo mi bai chad leis le pseida val trei kevin de nefisha pseida lishina adenafel be muma v'chlinu kamashmalan. Over here, the braisa wants to teach us the following. If we're talking about a person being makdish one animal, okay, that's a loss. But still, there's no Beis HaMikdash. If we let it just wait, if we wait till it develops a blemish, so many bad things can happen. We could work it, we could shear it, we could shecht it prematurely, and so therefore we're going to dispose of it. What we're learning together now is that the even if it's two animals that came out, and that means dispose of two animals. That's a lot of bal tashchis. Okay, that's true, that's a lot of bal tashchis, but the Chachamim were more concerned about the possibility of shearing or working a karban or shechting it prematurely. And so even though that means that it's going, the expense over here is that two animals are going to have to be left to die, so be it. Itmar, the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes the following. Ha'omer l'shlucho tsev aser alai. So I go over to a friend and say, look, I'm away, I'm out of town, but we've hit a checkpoint in the year, and I need to do my Sebehema. So do me the favor. Go to my house. Go to the farm and count the animals and take away my Sebehema. Fine, so I ask a shliach to do so. Perfect. And tsev aser alai. Rapapi mishmei derava amar kara l'tshi asiri. Kadosh ulacharas arsiri eino kadosh. So my shliach, if he mislabeled number 9 as number 10, it's going to be invested with the small amount of kedusha. Again, necha b'mumo. If, however, ulacharas arsiri eino kadosh. But if my agent misidentifies number 11 as number 10, it's not going to have kedusha. Rav Papa amar afilo akar lechi arsiri eino kadosh. And Rav Papa says even if he mislabels number 9 as number 10, that's not going to have kedusha. Now, why is with the agent, are his mistakes going to be non-registered? And if I made the mistakes, they of course would be registered. But the answer is very simple. Because, in other words, an agent is there to only help me, but not to hurt me. Even though, shluchu shel adam kamoso, that when I appoint an agent, and he is acting in my stead, but I'm only, the agency only works when it's towards my advantage. Once the agency now is going rogue and is causing me a loss, so he is no longer my agent. He's no longer my shliach. And over here, the only debate over here is, look, the big mistake of turning number 11 into a carbon shlamim, that's a major mistake. Because now that animal is no longer, I mean, it's still mine, but in the sense that I'm going to have to now bring it to the base of mikdash and offer it as a carbon, like that's a huge mistake. Everyone agrees. My shliach cannot make that mistake, meaning he's not serving as my shliach when he makes that mistake that large. When misidentifying number 9, the Amoraim are debating, is that like a huge mistake? Meaning you're still going to keep the animal and you're still going to be able to eat the animal. You're just going to have to wait till it gets a blemish. And the Amoraim are arguing whether or not agency works for that as well. And the second opinion that we just saw is that, no, even that's not tolerable. Meaning as a shliach, as an agent, that is just simply unacceptable. The Amar Lay, because effectively what I'm saying to him is, Latkunish Adartich Velo Lavuse. I'm only sending you as a shliach only to help me, but not to hurt me. Umayshna Mehadadan, the Gemara says now, is it any different than the following? So let's say, again, the same phone call, right? All the produce is in the silo. I want to take off Shumas Amaisos. I'm out of town right now. Go to my farm. Go separate Shumas and Maisros. And he does so. But I didn't give him the numbers. For Truma, it fluctuates. So an average person gives 2%, but the generous person gives the 40th. A stingy person gives the 60th. And I didn't tell him. So either he knows me really well, and he'll figure out what I want. And if he doesn't know what I want, so then average. Take off 2%. Piches asara o hosif asara. Now, if let's say he took off either a 40th or a 60th, truma. So the truma would be a valid truma, even though it may not have been exactly what I wanted. But the Gemara says, yeah, but there it's within an acceptable range. So the Gemara says, kevan de ika detarim be'en yafa ve'ika detarim be'en ra'a. Amar lahachi amdaticha hachi ta'usahi amar lo ibayelech lemite. So the Gemara says the difference is as follows. In the case of Truma, going anywhere between 140th and 160th is within an acceptable range. I thought my friend was more generous than what I pegged him out to be. Okay, that's my mistake. Masha Enkin over here, by calling number 9 number 10 or calling number 11 number 10, that's literally a mistake. That's literally a mistake. As such, when it comes to shlichus, my shlichus only is effective. He only operates with his agency only when he's doing what I want him to do. But when he's making a mistake, so the agency no longer is in play.